Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Romans chapter 11, verse 24. For if God was willing to take you who were by nature branches from a wild olive tree. I want to see some branches from wild olive. Wild olives, I was a wild olive. Some of you weren't, but I know you're ashamed to identify with that, aren't you? But this is where we're grafted in. Who were by nature branches from a wild olive tree and graft you into his own good tree. A very unusual thing to do. He will be far more eager to graft the Jews, where? Back into the tree where they belong. It amazes me that in our nation, with all of the ministry that we have, that there is so much confusion and lack of support for the Jews in general and for Messianic followers of Christ. A lot of illiteracy there. The scripture makes it clear that even though Israel as a nation may have wondered, and they did, that God has been eager for their restoration, and we get to live in the day of that restoration in part. When I was a boy, we had, on an annual basis, one Jewish lady that would come to the college campus where our family church. Her name was Mrs. Hanley. I thought she was the coolest lady on earth. And I thought it was so awesome that somebody that was actually from the Bible was showing up to speak to us. And she spoke of the awakening by the Spirit of God in Jewish people to understand who their Messiah is. And she spoke of the day when there would be dozens and hundreds and thousands of Jewish believers that would be returning to Christ and coming to their Messiah. And I was so excited. I grew up in a family where Dad had great love for Israel and great love for the lost. And so we prayed for Israel and for Jewish people. And Mrs. Hanley came. I thought that was so awesome. Today, I'm honored to say that Rabbi Zamstein, who is a wonderful man of God, who serves right here in the Treasure Coast, along with his wife and others, is a dear friend that I have total confidence in. When I bring him into the radio station, the only problem I have is he has more to say than we have time to give him. And it is always a delight. And I haven't got Sherry in yet. I mean, his wife, Sherry. She kind of, I don't know if she's the prayer team that's outside calling down the anointing of God, but it always happens that way. But I think from where things were when I was a boy in a Christian college campus church to where the church is today and the kingdom is today, where there are literally not dozens, but there are thousands, hopefully into the several hundred thousand Messianic believers follow Christ today. And it's an honor, Rabbi Zamstein, to have you with us here. And I was telling my wife this morning that out of all of the various rabbis that I've met, you are the first one to be in this place, and it's been a long time since we've had fellowship with some local rabbis as a congregation. We build sukkahs, celebrate the feast together, and I would like very much to deepen our relationship to strengthen the balance of truth within our own congregation. And so I thank God for you, thank God for the healing that's going on in your wife as well, for the wonderful move of the Holy Spirit that we experienced yesterday. So in verse 25, I want you to understand this mystery, dear brothers and sisters, so that you will not feel proud and start bragging. Some of the Jews have hard hearts, but this will last only until the complete number of Gentiles comes to Christ. And so all Israel will be saved. That doesn't mean that those who do not accept the truth are saved. It means the day is going to come when Jewish people as a nation will recognize their Messiah and will believe and will receive, and there will be a great national awakening. And so all of Israel will be saved. Do you remember what the prophet said about this? A deliverer will come from Jerusalem. He will turn Israel from all ungodliness, and then I will keep my covenant with them and will take away their sins. I want to just start again from this topic till the time of the Gentiles is complete. Time of the Gentiles complete. As I look at what's going on with the wars today, I can't put a title on this specific war. In looking in Ezekiel last week, took note of the fact that there obviously is a great battle, and then there's a season of peace, and then there's an ingathering again of war against Israel. And as we look at that, I don't know if this is the battle that's before that season of peace. I can't say that. I know that many have spoken in the past with all of their wisdom which exceeds me, and they have proven themselves to be wrong. But God is absolutely going to watch His covenant and fulfill His word. He will definitely do that. And so when I look at this passage and recognize that there is, God knows what the complete number of Gentiles who will come to Christ. He knows exactly what that number will be. And as I look at this, I see this sort of like, have you ever got into one of those doors? I've seen them mostly in the north where it's several doors together, they're revolving, and you jump in, and as you're going around this way, somebody else is behind you and they're coming around behind you. I sort of see that the church is sort of moving around, and they're almost past the opening that goes in, and behind us is incoming the Jewish nation, because God is opening their hearts. I believe the door to the Gentiles of grace and mercy, if you're watching this morning, or if you're in this room this morning and you have not yet received the gift of life through Jesus Christ, now is the time to do it. Now is the time to believe and receive your Messiah. And so I see this as being a relevant passage to us today. But in Romans 9, in the first few verses, we see that Paul lived, the Apostle Paul, lived with a tremendous burden for his people. One of the reasons why I speak on this topic often, and certainly now during the war, is that we who are righteous would understand that we too should have this kind of passion and compassion to love and to reach Jewish people and to support the work that does so. So we see in chapter 9, verse 1, in the presence of Christ, I speak with utter truthfulness. I do not lie, and my conscience and the Holy Spirit confirm that what I am saying is true. This is what he says. My heart is filled with bitter sorrow and unending grief for my people, my Jewish brothers and sisters. This next part of this passage always nails my toes to the floor. I would be willing to be forever cursed, cut off from Christ, if that would save them. Let me tell you, that is a serious level of intercession, where you are willing to say, it's more important to me to see nation of Israel redeemed and restored than my own personal salvation. When you read something like this in the Word of God, I trust you do what I do on occasion. I say, why is this in the Word of God? Why did God allow this very statement to be in the Word? There's so many things that are in here, but why would this be here? I believe it is here in part to awaken in us, the Gentile church, as well as those who are Jewish believers, an awareness of the heart of God. I believe this is God's heart, that God passionately desires for that restoration to be fulfilled. And it's coming. It is coming. I would be willing to be forever cursed. They are the people of Israel. There's a whole list of things here that God gives. And I repeatedly will hear people say, well, why do you make such a big deal out of the church loving the Jewish nation? And it's because God loves the Jewish nation, and we are the foreigners that are adopted in. It's not Israel that's the foreigner. It is the Gentile that has been grafted. And so we must recognize and understand the richness and the depth of our heritage in Christ. And so I have like 8 different things right here in these next few verses. They are the people of Israel, chosen to be God's special children. You say amen? God revealed His glory to them. Can you say amen? He made covenants with them and gave His law to them. Can you say amen? They have the privilege of worshiping Him and receiving His wonderful promises. Amen. I'm the choir director up here. Stick with me, people. It's not lunchtime yet. It's coming. Their ancestors were very great people of God, and Christ Himself was a Jew. Amen. As far as His human nature is concerned. And as far as His human nature is concerned, and He is God who rules over everything and is worthy of eternal praise. Another good time to say amen. Chapter 10. We won't go through the whole book of Romans, but a piece of it. Romans 10, verse 1. Dear brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart and my prayer to God is that the Jewish people might be saved. Remember, we just read that a couple moments ago in an earlier passage right here in Romans. I know what enthusiasm they have for God, but it is misdirected zeal. deal where they don't understand God's way of making people right with himself. Instead, they're clinging to their own way of getting right with God by trying to claw. My, oh my, it's not just Jewish people that have got caught up in all the rituals and all the different aspects of the law. They won't go along with God's way, some, for Christ has accomplished the whole purpose of the law. I am so glad for that. And all who believe in him are made right with God. And we all know this verse, we memorize it, don't we, in verse 9 of Romans 10. For if you confess with your what? With your mouth, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Hallelujah. Supposed to be another hallelujah. For it is by believing in your heart that you're made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. I have a few points marked in my personal study Bible as questions. I just have big question marks, and I started counting the questions. Chapter 10, I have this verse identified, verse 18, where the question is, have they actually heard the message? And what is the answer? It's in the Word of God. Yes, yes. Message of God's creation, gone out to everyone, its words to the world. Look at verse 19, question number 2. But did the people of Israel really understand? Well, their leaders often said they did. The answer, Word of God, is yes, they did. For even in the time of Moses, God said, I will rouse your jealousy. Let me go to question number 3. It's in chapter 11, verse 1. I ask then, has God rejected his people, the Jews? What is the answer? Of course not. Remember that I myself am a Jew, a descendant of Abraham. Jump over to verse 11 in chapter 11. Question number 4. Did God's people stumble and fall beyond recovery? What is the answer? Of course not. His purpose was to make his salvation available to the Gentiles, and then the Jews would be jealous and want it for themselves. So, Gentile church, we are to be making Jewish people jealous as part of our witness. Our love for God and our love for them and our witness to them is to be a witness to them about the blessing of God through the Messiah. Well, as I was thinking and praying about this morning, I was drawn to look at the essence of a book. The name of the book is The End Is Here. Is that going to get you excited if I give you that title as a point in the message this morning? The End Is Here. All right, well, I could go to the scripture where it's later than you think, or the time is short, or some of those passages, and I believe they all would have some relevancy. So Jimmy Evans, in his book entitled Tipping Point, The End Is Here, he pointed some scriptures out, and I looked at these and I thought it's a real concise way to get to where we need to go this morning, and I just really agreed with it. So we're going to run over Genesis chapter 12. I want to start with verse 1, and I want to just point out from this passage that God's desire and his work is to bless Israel, first of all. And that is important for all of us to see in the Word of God, to understand in the Word of God, but there is a second part to that that's relevant for all of us. And I hear so much discussion, why are we spending all of this money as a nation? Think about how many ships are over there. Think about the fact that we've lost the lives of some of our military already. I want to direct your attention to the Word of God that not only says that God's plan and purpose and intention is to bless Israel, but the covenant also is that Israel would bless all nations, and that those who bless Israel will also receive the blessing of the Lord. Here we are, chapter 12, verse 1. Then the Lord told Abram, leave your country, your relatives, your father's house, and go to the land that I will show you. I will cause you to become the father of what? Great nation. A great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, the New Living Translation says. And I will make you a blessing to others. If you want to find out how blessed the world is through the nation of Israel, get on your little smartphone that may be smarter than all of us, or your computer, and do a little search on what has the contribution been. And you can look at finance, you can look at medical, you look at science, you can look at engineering, you can look at almost every aspect, whether it's agriculture or in many other areas. You just look at almost every significant area and you will find that God has blessed the world through many things, but we know the greatest blessing is through the Messiah. Amen. I will make you a blessing to others. And then look at verse 3. I will bless those that bless you. Why do we make such a big deal out of this? Because it's the covenant of God. It's the heart of God. I could just read this a dozen times. I will cause you to become the father of a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make you famous. I'm not going to read it 12 times. I will make you a blessing to others, and I will bless those who bless you. And there's another part there too, isn't there? And curse those who curse you. Well, there's a lot of people in trouble. Let me tell you right now, there are a lot of people in trouble. Not because America has a lot of planes and a lot of armaments and big bombs and missiles, or Israel is definitely one of the strongest military nations on earth. Not because of that, but because Israel's God is watching over His word and over His people, and God will fulfill His word. Those who curse will be cursed. The second scripture I want to take you to is in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. And these are foundational scriptures, but they all tie in with where we're going to go as we move ahead this morning. So in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, we have these words. For you are a holy people who belong to the Lord your God. Jewish nation, your holy people. God is clearly stating that He is Israel's owner and protector. You are a holy people who belong to the Lord your God. Of all of the people on earth, not as all the other people on earth, but a chosen people that are separate from others. Thank God the Messiah died for all of us. Amen. But the blessings and covenant and promises of God to Israel as a nation, they are unique, and those covenants stand this morning as surely as when they were given to Abraham. You are a holy people who belong to the Lord your God. Of all the people on the earth, the Lord your God has chosen you to be His own special what? Treasure. I do not want to be on the wrong side of God's blessing, His pleasure, and His treasure. As a kid growing up, things were going on in Cuba. Some of you may be old enough to remember the Cuban Missile Crisis. People were building bomb shelters, gathering guns, trying to find out how they would be protected. And I remember during that time, my father had something to say about all of that. He said, I would want to be in the land of Israel. If all hell is going to break loose, I want to be with God's chosen people. And so I grew up with that mindset that if I didn't know where else on earth that I should be, then if I could be, I would want to be in Israel with God's people. Well, we know that God has chosen Israel as His people and as His nation, and they are His treasured possession. I want you to thumb back to Genesis. We're going to go back to Genesis 17. But in Genesis chapter 17, let's drop down and look at verse 7. Here we go. I will continue this everlasting covenant. What kind of a covenant? Everlasting. Generation after generation, it will continue between me and your offspring forever. And I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. I made mention of the fact in Romans that we Gentiles are the ones that are grafted covenant. We're blessed by that. Yes, I will give all this land of Canaan to you and to your offspring forever, and I will be their God. Amen. Well, we're now going to go to Jeremiah 16:14. I love Isaiah and Jeremiah. Aren't they great books? Great books. So Jeremiah chapter 16, let's look at verse 14. But the time is coming. Time is coming. Say that with me. Time is coming, says the Lord, when people who are taking an oath will no longer say, as surely as the Lord lives, who rescued the people of Israel from the land of Egypt. Instead, they will say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the people of Israel back to their own land, from the land of the north, and from where? All the countries to which he had expelled them, for I will bring them back to this land that I gave their ancestors. Thank you, Rabbi, for giving me an important note yesterday. I really appreciated it. It helps with my message today. Question, why would Jewish people want to go back to Israel? He would say it much better than me, but that's one place where Jewish people can protect themselves. That was awesome, and I appreciate adding that to my thoughts. That is definitely. Here is God saying the time is coming, not just a restoration from Egypt or a restoration from Babylon, but we know the restoration is now in place as well. So we see that God is the one who will begin to call people back. When Sherry began to talk about going to Israel and going for a month, and we were busy at WCNO, and I'm thinking, a month? We have a lot of work to do. And then I realized something was going on. There was a knock going on inside of Sherry. There was a call. Just read about it in Jeremiah where God would bring his people back home. And I realized that that probably was a part in those steps. And when she came back from Israel, I was wondering if she was sure she wanted to come back. And I believe ever since she came back, maybe since the first time in Israel, she's just wanted to go back to Israel. But I'll promise you, Sherry, you're not the only one that felt like you made it home. I know for my wife and I, when we went to Israel for the first time, went on one of those trips that's called a fam trip. It's to familiarize ministers with the land, and they sort of wine and dine you and put you in the top motels and shuttle you around the land. And after about the 50th church, I'd seen all the splinters of the cross and all of the Disneyland of tourism that I wanted to see. I wanted to see where Jesus walked and wanted to see a little more of that, which we did. But I remember that awakening inside of me when my feet hit the ground. I literally wanted to down and I felt inside of me that I was finally at the place where God would bring me back to one day. Didn't know that I'd have many other opportunities to go there, but I understand, Sherry, when you say, I was home. I'm home when I'm in. I believe that's a call of God that is going out to his people, and more, in fact, I think Rabbi would be happy to accept $700,000-$800,000. That would help him get a place in Israel, and Sherry would not object to that either, so, if you have 2 extra million laying around, break it up and be a blessing. But we see that this is part of the call of God. God says, I will regather them. Isaiah, let's go there. Isaiah chapter 11. Every time I get into this passage, I remember going to the reserve or preserve where they had all of the natural habitat and vegetation of Israel. And I remember hearing the story of the olive tree that they had moved next to a press, an old press with a stone. And this huge olive tree just died all the way to the ground, and they wanted to just plow it up and replant. The gentleman who was sharing with us that day shared that when they finally decided this tree, they did everything they could to try to keep it alive. It was not going to live, and they were going to remove it, which they did. There was a root in the ground that was alive, and there was a tree the day we went there, and they said this tree grew from the root that no one saw. This passage, and our guide there at that place that day pointed this scripture out from Isaiah 11:11 and said, out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot, as he spoke of the day of the coming Messiah. Those early trips to Israel, I was thrilled that some of our guides said, we don't know, and maybe they were saying it for Americans and just saying it for Christians, but they said, we don't know, but maybe when the Messiah comes again, we will find that the Messiah, the Gentiles, is the same Messiah for the Jews. And we know it's the same Messiah. Amen? Amen. So a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. Let me drop down to where I want to take you. I want to go down to verse 11. I'll start with 10. In that day, the heir to David's throne will be a banner of salvation. To all the world, the nations will rally to him. For the land where he lives will be a glorious place. And in that day, the Lord will bring back a remnant of his people for the what? Second time. How do you know God knows how to count? He knows what he's doing. Remnant of the people for the second time, returning them to the land of Israel. Now we have a whole list of nations: Assyria, Lower Egypt, Upper Egypt, Ethiopia, Elam, Babylonia, Hamath, and all the distant coastlands. He will raise a flag among the nations for Israel to rally around, and he will gather the scattered people of Israel, of Judah, specifically Judah, from the ends of the earth. God is the one that is calling. Do we have time to go to Hosea? I think we do. Hosea chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. Let's look at this together. I think I'll just start with verse 1 because I like it. Then the Lord said to me, go and get your wife again, talking to Hosea, who had been directed to marry a harlot, a prostitute. Bring her back to you and love her, even though she loves adultery, for the Lord still loves Israel. Even though the people have turned to other gods, offering them choice. So I bought her back for 15 pieces of silver and about 5 bushels of barley and a measure of wine. And then I said to her, you must live in my house for many days and stop your prostitution. During this time, you will not have sexual intercourse with anyone, not even with me. Verse 4. What this story is in the Word of God about. Look at verse 4. This is an illustration from God. This illustrates that Israel will be a long time without a king or a prince, without sacrifices, a temple, priest, or even idols. Look at verse 5. But after, say after, the people, which people? God's people. Afterward, the people will return to the Lord their God and to David's descendant, their king. They will come trembling in awe to the Lord. They will receive his good gifts when? In the latter last day. All right, you found Hosea. See if you can find Amos. Go Hosea, Joel, Amos. Find Amos. We're going to go to Amos chapter 9. Just a few moments, I'm going to ask our elders to come to the front. We're going to anoint Sherry. As Sherry continued her journey, Messianic Fellowship, Rabbi Zamstein, wife, congregation, as she is in pursuit of getting home, we're going to release her, blessing of God, from all of us, but we will not release her from the family of God and fellowship. Amos, we're going to look at chapter 9, verse 15. In fact, I guess I have to start at verse 13. I always do that because I look in the Word and I'm like, it's so good. Well, maybe I'll go to verse 11. How about that? I like that too. In that day, I will restore the fallen kingdom of David. It is now like a house in ruins, but I will rebuild its walls and restore its former glory. And Israel will possess what is left of Edom and all the nations. I have called to be mine. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will do these things. The time will come, says the Lord, when the grain and the grapes will grow faster than they can be harvested. Then the terraced vineyards on the hills of Israel will drip with sweet wine. I will bring my exiled people of Israel back from distant lands. They will rebuild their ruined cities and live in them again. They will plant vineyards and gardens, and they will eat their crops and drink their wine. I will firmly plant them there in the land I have given them, says the Lord your God. Last part of this is really important. Then, they will never, say never, be uprooted again. Prophets wanted to see this day. They wanted to see. I don't know if we can even comprehend what an amazing day of prophetic revelation we live in. We are able to see in the past and look around us and understand that we stand at the edge of fulfillment, fullness, covenant, God to Israel. What exciting time to be alive, to live in this. Amen. I recently saw this. I'll just share it, and then I'm going to ask the elders to come. We pray for Benjamin Netanyahu. Pray for him on a regular basis. And I came across this note from One for Israel, and I've heard Benjamin Netanyahu actually say these kind of words. Quote, we are telling our Jewish brothers and sisters, Israel is your... I've heard him say that. I've even heard our president say that if you're in any of the European countries, we will provide asylum, come back to America. We're going to see some stepping stone for God's people make it back home. And I believe our president is saying, if it's safer here than there, wherever you are, come home here on your way, your home. So I've seen this. We're bracing ourselves and calling for a mass immigration from Europe, announced Israel's prime minister. Yes, Benjamin Netanyahu said, I would like to say to all of Europe's Jews and Jews everywhere, Israel is the home.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStuart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly."
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
I'm Mindy Molina, investment advisor rep, licensed insurance agent, and fiduciary. From protecting your investments to not overpaying in taxes, financial concerns make up a long list of topics, and I can't wait to cover them all. I'll have expert guests, including CPAs and estate attorneys, and bring you insight you can benefit from. Listen in to the Mindy Molina Show every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.